What to do when you don't know what to do. And I got this title from a scripture, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I would like you, I'm not going to read it all, I might read a few verses, but I would like you to read this chapter throughout this coming week. There is so much in it. There is a huge amount in this chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We'll start with verse 1. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Now, Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah. Israel had split into two kingdoms. 10 tribes came together to call themselves Kingdom of Israel, but 10 tribes came together against 2 tribes, which were the Jews, who were Judah and Benjamin. So those 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, we get our name Jews from that. And Judah was in Jerusalem, obviously, and worshipped at the temple. These tribes came against Judah, the 2 tribes. Not the Israelite tribes, but these were Moabites and Amorites. A huge amount of people came against Judah. He says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, who was the king, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea, and that is the Dead Sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gadai. Then verse 3 says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the name of the Lord. Resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Well, you would be alarmed when the amount of people was coming against you that was coming against these 2 tribes. I mean, there was a vast army, thousands and thousands of men, fully armed, coming against these 2 tribes to destroy them, to steal everything they had, to ransack Jerusalem, to destroy their temple and take off everything, to kill men, women, and children. It was a really bad thing that was happening. And so it said the king was alarmed. He was alarmed. He was afraid. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? You just think what Israel's going through right now, surrounded by all these enemies. Back then, these 2 tribes who was in Jerusalem didn't have that iron dome. They didn't have the armaments that they have today. They were just 2 tribes who mainly did farming, being invaded by an enemy who wanted to destroy them. So the king becomes alarmed, and he calls the people together to seek the Lord. He started to seek God himself. What do I do? He started to seek God, and the people came and stood there in the new courtyard at the temple, and there would have been a lot of crying, a lot of weeping, a lot of fear as mothers held their children and families came together. This was a shocking thing, that what was happening. And Jehoshaphat prayed to God, and you can read the prayer that he prayed. It was a beautiful prayer. And he was telling God, he was actually telling God what was happening. But he reminded God also that in times gone past, God had fought on behalf of the Israelites. He'd helped Judah and Israel. That it had been said, if you pray to God from this temple, no matter what is happening, whether you're in war, people coming against you, or if it's sickness, poverty, whatever, you pray to God, cry to God, and God will come to your aid. And he's reminding God of his word. And he finishes his prayer saying, Lord, Our eyes are on you because we don't know what to do. That's where I get the title of this message. What to do when you don't know what to do. Stephen prayed a lovely prayer this morning and talked about things that are going wrong in the world around us. I'm meeting people all the time facing problems. We've never lived in a day and age where there's so much knowledge, yet we don't have the answers to our problems. People are still, hospitals are full, mental institutions are full, prisons are full to overflowing. We don't have answers to our problems. Drug addicts that are out there, men, women, young people are just dying from drugs. Why? And they don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a situation where something's gone wrong in your life? It might be to do with your marriage or with your children or a sickness in your body or maybe finance that you're really struggling with and you've said, I don't know what to do. Has anybody, you may not have said it out loud, but has anybody, let's see if how many people here have had some situations where you've thought, I don't know what to do. Hands up. Let me see. Let me have a look. Well, that's most of you. Okay. So you know what I'm talking about this morning. When I don't know what to do. When I don't know what to do. Now, this guy was praying, and everybody would say, well, he's doing the right thing, and he is. When you don't know what to do, but one of the starting points is seeking God. That's a pretty good place to start. But even though he was seeking God, his prayer was, we don't know what to do. Even though he was seeking God, even though he was praying, this army was, he don't know what to do. His army does not match this army. His weapons don't match what these people have. They were coming with their camels and their horses, and they were spread out right over the hills. They were huge amount of people, huge amount, coming for blood, coming to destroy. Lord, we don't know what to do. So that day there was a lot of weeping. There was a lot of fear. There was a lot of discouragement. There was a lot of questions being asked. And you can imagine if you was there, if you was amongst this group of people with your children with you and you'd be talking to me, what should we do? Should we run away? Should we try and hide? What do we do? And the king, what are you doing for us? Are you trying to get somebody else to help us? Can you get another nation that will come to our aid? Can you? And all this sort of talk would be going around. And while that was happening, a prophet stood up in their midst. You read it for yourself. I want you to read this. I want you so that you know what I'm saying is right. It's not. I'm not making this up. A prophet stood up in their midst. After the king had prayed, because the king's prayer was an audible prayer. He prayed out loud. Loud he prayed. And then the prophet stood up and he said, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not be alarmed. Well, that's easy to say, isn't it? When I used to pastor, I used to have people, I pastored in Armadale, which was a bit of a lower socioeconomic area, and we had lots of problem people. They're like all churches do, a lot of problems here. But Armadale, there was a lot more, a lot of problem people, I'm telling you. And sometimes people would come to my office seeking counsel, seeking help. People sat in front of me and told me stories, and they've come to me because somebody's told them, go and see Pastor John, he'll sort you out. See Pastor John, he's a wise man, he'll know exactly what you need. So I'm sitting there listening to some of these people telling me their problems, and I'm thinking, dear God, how did they even get into this? I can't work out in my little brain how they got into the problems they're in. So how am I going to sort it out? And they tell me. Sometimes they'd spend half an hour just talking of their problems. And I'd look at them and I'd say, well, look, the first thing, don't worry. Well, when I said that, it was like knives were coming out of their eyes at me. Don't worry. Don't worry. What do you think I'm here for? Don't worry. How can you say, don't worry? How many of you know it's hard not to worry? Have you found that out? Have you found out that it's hard not to worry? But I used to say to these people, don't worry. I think some of them wanted to punch me in the face when I said that. Is that all you're telling me? Don't worry. I said, well, it's the best thing. And they looked at me again. I said, I'll tell you why I'm telling you not to worry. Because all I'm doing is passing on the words of Jesus. Jesus said, don't worry. Can I have a louder amen than that? I'm not making this up. Jesus said it. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear. Don't worry. Your Father knows what you're going through and He'll bring you through. So don't worry. But the problem is you still do. Well, cut it out. Do you know worry is the worst thing you can do? Worry is not being concerned. I'm concerned about a lot of things, but I learned many years ago not to worry. I don't worry. I don't worry about anything if I can help it. I try my hardest not to worry. Because I discovered something. When you worry, your brain releases chemicals to try to calm you down, to try to bring that joy back, to try. But the brain doesn't know what it's doing because human beings were never wired by God to worry. When Adam and Eve was first created and they were in the Garden of Eden, they were not to worry about anything. Come on. Come on. It wasn't. There was nothing to worry about because there was no sin. There was no sickness. There was no poverty. There was just joy and peace and tranquility. There was everything that they needed. It was a wonderful, wonderful garden. It was a paradise that I was speaking about the other week. They were in a paradise of God. God did not wire them to worry because God didn't want them to worry, and He never expected them to worry because there was nothing to worry about until they blew it and sinned. Then when they failed God, they entered into a realm of sin, and worry came, fear came, distress came, and the human brain did not know what to do, so it releases chemicals that does not help. It tries to release an overdose of the chemicals that give you joy, that give you rest, that give you peace, but it's not releasing it at the right way, and people worry, and people take tablets because they worry. Now, listen to this. If you worry, associated with that worry is fear. Would you agree? Would you agree? It is impossible to have any worry without fear. But concern doesn't harbor fear. Jesus was concerned, but He was never worried. Come on. I can be concerned about somebody's welfare, and that would drive me to prayer. I'd be concerned about what you're going through, maybe a marriage problem or a sickness problem, and I'm concerned for you, so I will pray for you, but I will not be afraid because that concern doesn't bring fear with it. But if I get worried, and yes, when my dear wife got dementia and we had to put her into a nursing home. I battled because I hadn't worried for many years, but when that happened, worry started to enter in because I could see things happening that I could not explain. I didn't know what to do. And it was associated, the fear started to come back, which actually made my blood pressure go up. Wasn't good because I was worrying. Thank God I got to the place where I conquered that. And I'm going to tell you how we do that in a little while. But worry is the most destructive force that there is. Worry drives people to drugs. Worry drives people to alcohol. Worry drives people to anger. Worry drives people to road rage. Goes on and on and on. That fear factor with worry is totally destructive. Now, I've told you this before, but some haven't heard this. I was preaching once at a church, got a large congregation of people, and I was preaching about not to worry. So I preached this message. I thought it was a pretty good message. But right at the end, a guy came. Before I got off the platform, a guy came and stood right there. And he said, I just want you to know something. He says, I'm a psychologist. He said, and I got my master's in psychology by studying and writing a thesis about worry. So I thought, here we go, he's going to have a go at me now. He's going to hammer me. And I said, okay. And then all of a sudden, he started to cry. He's a well-dressed man, highly educated psychologist. This is a true story I'm telling you. He started to cry. And I said, what's wrong? He says, I have a wife at home that's riddled with worry. I've tried every single thing in the book to help her. I can't help her. But I've never heard anybody talk about worry like you do. I have never heard it or read it. I'm going to go home and I'm going to put into practice what you've taught us today. Isn't that amazing? This is true. I'm telling you, this is true. I thought he was going to have a go at me because I'm not an educated person. But I know enough to know that Jesus said, don't worry, so it must be wrong to worry. Yes. Come on. Yes. But we all do. We still hang on to that worry. So this prophet stands up and he says to them, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't worry. Because this battle is not yours, but the Lord's. But it didn't do much because they are afraid. Stop and think about it. What is this prophet offering them? Don't worry. This is the Lord's battle. Oh, yeah. They're still coming. They're still coming. They're still coming. So the prophet gave a really good message to these people. And after he'd finished, the priests that were there, because the priests had gathered as well, with all the royal people, with all the nobles, and with all the ordinary people had come. And the priests, it said, started to worship God. And the people started to worship God. Because this prophet said, God is going to win this battle for you. And he said, what you've got to do is go out tomorrow morning and face them. Can you imagine that? He says to this group of people, tomorrow, this is the Lord's battle. And what you've got to do is go out tomorrow and face them. And can I say this to you? When you don't know what to do, can I say this? Don't run away. Yes. Don't run away from your problem. Don't run away from the enemy. Stand and face it. Even though you may be feeling worried and afraid, stand and face your enemy. Don't look to this way for an answer or that way for an answer. You stand and don't run away. Do you know the Roman army was probably the best army ever. The Roman Empire ruled for 1,000 years. And they were noted, the Roman military was noted for being fierce, determined fighters. But the Romans only had armor covering their front. They had an helmet. They had a breastplate. If they turned round, there was no steel armor on their back at all because they were not expected ever to turn their back on the enemy. They were never expected to turn and run. They became really vulnerable when they turned their back on the enemy. Come on. So if you was a Roman soldier, you got your armor on front, you got your spear or whatever it is, your sword, you're going forward, and you think, if I turn around to run, I've really had it. There's nothing to protect me. I've gone.
So we just keep going forward.
And can I say that's what the Apostle Paul said to us, that we are soldiers of Christ. Take on to you the whole armor of God and make your stand against the evil. And having done all, stand. And he talks about the armor, and he was depicting the armor of a Roman. He was writing that from a prison. Romans were guarding him, and he looked at them and he thought, yeah, we Christians have got the armor of God on. We don't turn our backs on the enemy. Can you say a big amen? Amen. Come on, this is good preaching. Amen. You might not like it, but it's good. How many of you know that you don't always like good preaching? Come on, don't always, but it's good. That's what I'm saying. Not so, but and you should never, ever turn your back on the enemy. So this prophet says, you're going to go out tomorrow. You're going to confront them. You're going out there tomorrow and you're going to confront them. And he said, I'll tell you where they are. And he told them where they were coming, this particular pass, in this particular valley. That's where you'll find them. So that's what you're going to do. I imagine there was a silence just like there is now. Come on. You got your kids there. You would be wanting to run. You would be wanting to seek help over here or over there. You would be wanting to run. And the prophet said, don't run, stand and face them. And then something unique happened. I got a feeling that the anointing of God came on those people, because suddenly the priests started to praise God. And it says, and you can read it for yourself, they praise God in a loud voice. I'm not saying that's what the scripture says. That's what the Bible says. These priests started to praise God in a loud voice. And I want to tell you, that's the best way to praise God. Amen. Loudly. Amen. That's the only way to really praise God, is loudly. And if you say to me, I can't do that, yes, you can. Of course you can. You can shout loud, can't you? Yes. Come on. Yes. You can shout loud. Yes. You can bang things together. You can knock. You can make a noise. This group of people suddenly heard the priest, and they started to praise God as well. So the whole group was there praising God. Listen, they were afraid, they were dismayed, they were worrying, and then they started to do something. They started to praise God. They started to praise God. What to do when you don't know what to do is praise God. Yeah, you didn't all get that, did you? Let me say it again. What to do when you don't know what to do, praise God. Don't run, don't hide, start praising God, and you'll find something unique will happen. When you start to praise him, your worry will dissipate. Your fear will dissipate. That which confuses the brain will start to slip away, and then the brain can release the right amount of chemicals into your body that you need to be at peace and to be happy. Praising people are always happy people. They may start off worried. They may start off afraid. They may start off intimidated. But when they determine to praise God, something wonderful happens. Because I want you to see a bigger picture here. There was the enemy coming for them. There were the children of God, the Israelites, afraid. Because the spirit that was bringing those people was an evil spirit. It was a deadly spirit. And it had come over these people that it was attacking. So the people were afraid. And the people were dismayed. That's why the first thing that was said by the prophet, do not be afraid. When you start to praise God, the spirit of darkness doesn't stay around. Doesn't want to stay around. If you complain, it'll stay. If you grumble and groan and moan, it will stay. If you criticize and gossip, it will stay. If you lie and cheat, that spirit of darkness will stay over you as a congregation. But when you start to praise God, when you start to lift God by your praises, that spirit can't stand to be around you. I discovered many years ago that the devil is allergic to praise. Now, there are certain plants that I'm allergic to, and I get hay fever. Certain grasses, when I see them, I get away from them. Certain plants, I move away from them because I'm allergic to them. And the devil is allergic to people praising God. He can't stand it. He is allergic. He's got to get away from it. He's got to move. Because the last thing he wants you to be doing is praising God. Now, I saw a little bit. I watched a footy last night. And I watched Brisbane come through. What a fight. Who watched that match? Anybody watch it last night? Well, not a good match. But there was two, you've got two groups of people there. You've got those from the Lions supporters, and you've got Geelong and the Cats. And I noticed that when the Lions supporters were roaring with praise for their team, the Cats were like this. I mean, were you serious? I looked at this huge, it was 90-odd thousand people there. Half of them was going, yay! The other half was... Can I tell you, when you start to praise, they were praising their team, it makes the other mob feel really upset. Come on! Well, that's how he does with the devil. This isn't a joke, what I'm telling you. This really is the truth. When you focus praise on God, even if you don't feel like it, what to do when you don't know what to do? Remember, those people didn't come to praise God. They came to the king because the king was alarmed and concerned. He'd put sackcloth on and he'd called for a fast. He said, we're not going to eat anything for the next few days. We've got to find an answer to this. The people came upset. The people came losing. The crowd over there were cheering. Come on, they thought they were going to slaughter them. They were the cheering ones. These people, God's people, were not cheering. They were afraid. And so the prophet says, stop it. Cut it out. But he didn't actually say it like that. I'm saying it like that. But that's what he meant. Don't be dismayed. Don't be afraid. And they started to praise God. That was an act of faith. I don't know how true this is, but people tell me this. If you are playing a game like last night, the footy, and your team really cheers loud, it actually does something for you. It does something. It does something psychologically and emotionally. Your team's shouting you on. Come on, guys, we can do this. Come on. Because Brisbane was losing. They were being slaughtered by the looks of it. But their team didn't give up. And their people didn't give up on them. And suddenly something happened. And they sort of broke through. Well, it's even more so like that with God's people. When people starts to praise God and lift God up, something happens. Something incredible happens. So they were now... boosted. The adrenaline was flowing in a good way. Not in a fearful way, in a happy way. Something had happened spiritually because these people took their eyes off the enemy, put their eyes on God, and started to praise him for all his goodness. They hadn't won the battle. Do you understand that? They hadn't fired a bow or they'd done nothing. But they put their eyes on God, and they started to praise him, and suddenly their spirits were changed. Their mind was changed. Their attitude was changed. And so the prophet then says, this is what you can do when they were praising God. You're going to go out tomorrow and you're going to face them. And the king said, yeah, you are, but we're going to put in front of the soldiers a group of people praising God. We're going to have a choir in the front. Come on. I mean, if you was in the choir, you probably wouldn't want to be on the front, would you? Because when the arrows are going to come and the spears, who are they going to get you? The choir's going first. So that seems stupid. I mean, if I was a commander, I would say, okay, get the best fighting men out front. Get the toughest and the roughest out front first. And you guys get behind them and stop praising God. No. No. You soldiers get behind this choir. Does that make sense? What to do when you don't know what to do is face the enemy with praise in your heart. That's what they did. They went out. You can read it there. And it tells you what they actually sang, the words that they sang. They started to praise the Lord. That's the strangest army that I've ever seen in the Old Testament. Can't think of another incident where that happened, where people are going out leading the army with tambourines, shofars, trumpets, harps, no sword, no spear, no shield, just instruments to sing the praises of God. Before they got to the people, they weren't far off. They were expecting to see a massive army coming towards them, but they were doing what they felt was right, and they were feeling good about it because it was praising God. Before they saw the enemy, the Bible says, you can read it, that God caused these different tribes that were coming against them, they fell out with each other. They literally fell out over something. And they started to fight one another. They actually started, they took the swords out and they came against each other. I don't know whether somebody said something wrong or somebody took, I don't know what happened. I ain't got a clue. It just says God caused them to have an ambush. What an ambush that was. There were nobody there. I mean, Gideon had an ambush. He only had 300 men, but it was an ambush. Do you remember? Gideon, do you remember that? This was an ambush with nobody there. Come on! We're talking about God. He's a miracle worker. By that time they got there, they'd all killed each other. So when the Israelites came singing their songs and praising God, they came, and what did they say? Dead bodies everywhere. As far as you could see, there was dead bodies. And it was in a valley. There wasn't one person alive. They were all being killed by each other. I love that. How many of you know that the forces of darkness that's under the control of the devil are not at unity with the devil? That's not a realm of peace and tranquility. They all hate the devil and they hate one another because there's no love there. Remove love and you're open for hate. These men had killed each other And the Israelites were standing there singing. I got a sneaky suspicion that they then sang a bit louder. And they start. And do you know what it says? This is what the Bible says. They went in and took their possessions. They found out where they were camping. The Bible says it took 3 whole days to get all their possessions. So they go back to Jerusalem rich and wealthy with all these guns, with all these armaments, with the spears and the swords and their jewelry and all this, the clothing. And they came out a people that was going to be oppressed and killed. That's what they thought when they started. They went back wealthy and happy. Come on, what a story. Do you think that's a good story? Why? Because they praise God. They learn the power of praise. And can I say this? I don't want to offend people here today, but I think they probably will offend you. I don't want to do. Should I say this, Lord? Try not to get offended at what I'm going to say now, will you? But you will be. But try not to be. Most of you people don't know how to praise God. Sorry, you don't. You don't know what praising God is. We've had a wonderful time of praise in this service this morning, and you know what that is. That's good. But praising God is not just for 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. And in fact, some of you couldn't even praise God here for the 20 minutes. Praising God is the most important thing that Christians should do. The number one. I believe in prayer. I'm a great believer in prayer. But the highest form of prayer is praise. What to do when I don't know what to do? Or sometimes I talk to God, God, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to do. And I'm talking to him. And I'm thinking, well, could we do this? Or could you do that? Then suddenly I think, well, I don't know what to do. And Lord, I'm going to leave it up to you. I don't know what to do. I'm going to just praise you. And I just start praising the Lord. Just praise him. And I praise him out loud. I praise him. I tell him, Jesus, how wonderful you are. How marvelous you are. You are the Savior. You are the Lord. You are the Master. You're the Good Shepherd. You're the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, you're the bread of life. Jesus, my trust and my confidence is in you. I love you, Jesus. I say that, and I do that when I don't know what to do. Always, it turns things around. Because it's praise. I'm not purposely trying to offend you. I'm trying to goad you into saying, yeah, he's right. I don't praise God like that. I don't. I'll read the scriptures every day, 2 or 3 verses maybe, but I don't praise God. Well, you need to. Because when things go wrong, and believe me, some of you already have got things going wrong, and some of you this week will find things are going to go wrong, and immediately you look for the answers, and you look here, you look there, you look everywhere. You go to Google, you're looking into all the... stop it. Face your enemy and lift your voice in praise to God. Because a battle is the Lord's. And if you say to me you don't know that, well, you just look at the cross. Jesus on the cross won the battle for us. The battle is won. Sin is defeated. Sickness is defeated. Poverty is defeated. Death is defeated. Hell is defeated. Satan is defeated at the cross. Jesus on the cross won the victory for you and me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm praising him because of victory is mine. Remember the prophet said, you won't have to fight. Go out and face the enemy. This isn't your battle. It's God's. And I'm saying this, whatever's going on in your life right now, if you're a child of God, let me just tell you, that's not your battle. That's God's. If somebody's having a go at you, they're having a go at God. If somebody's trying to rip you off, they're trying to rip God off. If somebody takes a dislike to you because you're a child of God, well, they got to answer to God for that because the battle is the Lord's. Does God know you're strong? course you're not. Does he know you're mighty and of course you're not. You're rubbish without him. We all are. Come on. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us are sinners outside of Jesus Christ. We're weak and timid, and we might think we're big, we might think we're great, we might think we're good. Mankind stands with his politics, with his sport, with his religions, with his philosophy. He stands there thinking he's a great man. And the world has never been in such a mess that it's in today. The world's going mad. The world is an absolute mess. And people are there saying that they're big and strong and powerful, they're rich and wealthy, and hey, come on. They're rubbish. Without God, we are nothing. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned. And the Bible also says there is none that doeth good. No, not one. And the Bible also tells us in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked man forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and the Lord will bless that person. Have mercy on that man, on that woman, if they do that. Seek the Lord. I'm challenging you. I'm coming to a close, but I'm challenging you. Listen to this. I want you to start to praise God. Now listen, even children, even the kids need to hear this. I want you to praise God a whole lot more than what you are doing. When things go wrong, when worry hits us and it puts a trap over our brain and we start to release chemicals that are not good for us, where we find ourselves intimidated, humiliated, put down, where we feel that we're no good, that we're people. So many people today are contemplating suicide here in Australia. I'm not talking about outback India. I'm not talking about the down and the untouchable. I'm talking about here, where we're supposed to be the lucky country. Suicide is on the increase. What is wrong? People are not walking with God. And I'll tell you something else, church. The church isn't. The church is not walking with God as it should do. The church has become, even for Christians, a just in case. It's become an insurance policy just in case. Stop it. The church should never be that. The church should be men, women, children who love Jesus Christ and are not afraid to praise his name. That you will praise him. And listen, out loud. You know, I know there's a place where when I'm in a shopping center and I'm praising God, I'm doing it quietly. You know, I'm not shouting loud because they'll come and bring a white van and carry me off. I know that. I understand that. But whenever I get the opportunity, I praise him out loud. I praise him out loud in my car. I praise him out loud when I'm in my own home. No one's around. I praise him in the garden. I praise him. I open my mouth. I don't praise him like this. Nah, I shout my praise to God. Because you know who hears that? The devil as well. And the devil is allergic to praise. If I want to get rid of the devil's presence, I start to praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And do you know what happens when you start to praise God? You get rid of demons, but you bring angels there. The angels of God are always looking for people who will praise God. The angels of God will be wafting the fan of praise and saying, come on, keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. Because the angels know how good God is. The angels know how wonderful Jesus is. And they know what he's done for us. They can't understand it because we are the ones that were lost, not them. And we've been found. We've been saved. Our eyes have been opened. We've been brought back from death. And the angels look at that and think, why don't these people praise God more? Do they understand what they're going to? They are going to a paradise that your imagination couldn't even begin to imagine. You couldn't imagine the paradise that God's got for you and me. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but I reckon that was good preaching. Yeah. You know, a lot of people say that's rubbish, what I've said. Well, I know that. A lot of people say, what absolute rubbish you've just spoken, John. Rubbish. Well, I'm telling you it's not. And I'm standing here as a proof that is not rubbish, because I've done it. God showed me the power of praise many, many years ago. And I look at Christians and I think, come on, you need to praise God more. You need to wake up in the morning praising God. Before you get out of bed, you need to say, God, you're so good. You're so wonderful. You may wake up in the morning and you may be faced with a problem. And it might be easy for you to say, oh, God, I don't know what to do. Well, I know what you should do. Praise Him. And I finish with this. It's a long finish, but I finish with this. And some of you have heard this before, but some of you haven't because people have joined. I had a lady in my church many years ago when I was in Armadale who came to see me one day with a problem. I said, what is your problem? She said, oh, she says, Pastor John, when I pray, I get so upset. I end up crying every time I pray. I said, why? She said, well, you know my husband. I said, yeah, I know him, which I did know him, and he was a drunkard. And he hated her going to church. And she said to me, I wait till he's gone to bed, and then I get by the lounge and I pray. But I always end up miserable. And I said, well, what are you praying? She said, well, I'm telling the Lord I want him to save my husband. I want him to change my husband. And then I think, oh, what a drunkard he is. What a dirty mouth he's got. And I'm thinking how horrible he is. And I said to her, well, stop it. I said, if I was married to somebody like that and I kept talking about it, I'd feel horrible as well. Stop it. Don't, when you pray, start to believe he's changed. Don't tell God he's a drunkard because God already knows that. Don't tell him he swears and curses at you because God already knows that. He knows what your problem is. You're saying, I don't know what to do. And God's saying, praise me, lift me up, exalt me, and you will see miracles happening in your life every day. It works. Friends, it really does work. I'm not saying this for the sake of it. It's not a joke. I'm not just saying it for something to say. I'm saying it because I've proved it over the years that praising God is the best weapon that a Christian can have. The weapon of praise is more powerful than anything else there is. See, sometimes I don't always have the brain to pray the right prayers. I pray, and after I've prayed, sometimes I think, what's that? Did I pray right prayer? They did a prayer. Sometimes I don't know. Because I'm finite. I'm not God. Like you were saying in your prayer, Stephen, we live in a strange, silly world. And there's so many opinions in this world. So sometimes I don't know when I'm praying. But what I do, I will finish praising God. Do you understand? Praising Him. Because I know when I'm praising Him, that is the truth. He is good. When I say God's good, I mean God is good, because He is good. The world says He's not. The world says He's rubbish. The world says you shouldn't believe it. But I keep saying, I'm going to praise God because I believe He's a good God. I'm not going to just tell you I believe God is a good God. I'm going to tell Him I believe He's a good God. You're a good God. You're a wonderful God. You're a marvelous God. You are an eternal God. There is no one like you in all the earth. Hallelujah. It's the truth. So will you this morning, please, make an effort to every day literally praise God. And some of you are saying to me, well, I don't have to speak out loud to praise God. Well, you do. The writer to the Hebrews says, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Not the fruit of our mind, but the fruit of our lips. Let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Those people of Judah, when they stood there and the enemy was a few kilometers away, for them to praise God was a sacrifice to begin with. They had to force themselves to do it. The priests were doing it, and they were doing it with a loud voice. But then for them to join in and start praising God, there was sacrifice there. You don't always feel like praising God. And if you say to me, John, have you got a habit of praising God? Somebody once said to me that, oh, it's all right for you, John. You've just got in the habit of praising God. No, I haven't. It is impossible to get into a habit of praising God because the devil don't want you to praise God. You don't form habits like that. You can form an alcoholic habit. You can form an habit of drugs, of all sorts of things. And the devil will help you to do that. But he won't let you form a habit of praising God. So it's not a habit, it's a sacrifice. But it works. And once you break that sacrifice, it starts to flow and flow and flow and flow. And I don't care if you've got the whole world against you, which you have, your praise, and I'm finishing definitely with this, your praise will bring to you a sense of joy and peace and fulfillment that nothing else could when you praise him. I promise you that. I promise you. If you this week start with a sacrifice of praise, when you get sick, when you find a problem, when something goes wrong, when you don't know what to do, start to praise him. And I'll guarantee things will turn around for your better. Is anybody here that I've challenged this morning that you would say to me, I believe that what you've said, Pastor John, is from God. It's not just what you've said, it's you've preached scripture to us today. I've preached the word. And yes, I don't praise God like I should do. But I want to. After hearing that again, I want to come to a place where I want to start something new in God. I just want to break through in praise to God. Because the devil doesn't want you to break through. So you know what I'm going to ask you to do? If you really feel that, yeah, you're not praising God, and I don't want you to think about anybody here. Imagine that there's just you in this room and God. Just don't let people put you off. Don't let me put you off. If you feel God's challenged you through this message and you want to do something about it, you want to have a praising heart and a praising mouth, your lips to offer continually the sacrifice of praise, then I want you to get up from your seat and come and stand at the front, and I'm going to pray for you just now. So get up from your seat if you feel God's spoken to you, and come and I'll pray for you. Not individually, I'll pray. I'm not going to keep you long. Time has gone. If you need to come, you come just now. For the Lord would speak to you this day and say, no matter where you look in this world, no matter what you look into in this world, it does not have the answers like my word does. Whatever philosophy you're looking at or religion, whatever it may be, it does not have the answer for you that my word does. And I challenge you afresh today. Look at my word. Take my word literally when I talk about praise. Take my word literally when I talk about praise. The Lord would say to you right now, I'm speaking to you, and you know it, and I want you to respond right now to my voice speaking to you, saith the Lord. I'm going to wait another moment because God's said that there's people here that really should be out the front. You know you should. And maybe nerves is keeping you there. Maybe pride is keeping you there. I don't know. But God's saying, come on, break through. You don't know what to do? Well, I've told you what you do today. Learn to praise God. Just come. Just come right now. Just come if that's you. I'm going to pray right now. Don't want to take much more time, but I want you to be in on this prayer. It's really important. Really important. Everybody, lift your hands to the Lord. Lift your hands high. Come on, let's raise our hands to heaven. Father, you see all these people here today, and their heart's desire is to be released into an attitude of praise like they've never had before. That, Lord, we will have an attitude of gratitude to you every day of our lives. No matter what this world throws at us, no matter what the devil throws at us, help us to have that attitude of praise. Loosen us, set us free from bondage, that we might be a praising people and a praising church. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And Lord, you see all these folks here right now that you've spoken to and challenged, and are answering that challenge. Lord, you see what is in their life. You see what they're facing. You see the difficulties, Lord, that they're up against. But I pray you'll bring them through as they start to praise you. I ask, Lord, that they won't wait until tomorrow, but they'll start today to praise you. They'll find a place where no one is, and they'll open their lips and praise you for all that they're worth. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now everybody, what I want you to do, and you sitting down there as well, we can't leave this meeting without praising God. It will be mad to do that. So here's a great opportunity for us to praise God. All you as well, everybody stand now in the congregation, all stand. And I want you to help join with these people here. I'm going to count to three. And then you praise God in your own words, you know. Think of Bible phrases to praise Him. But you praise Him from your heart, thanking Him for His goodness, loud. After three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name that is above every name. You're glorious. You're marvelous. You're wonderful, Lord. I thank you and praise you. I give you all the glory. We want to praise you, Lord. We want to develop a lifestyle of praise that you've given to us. Help us to develop it in the mighty name of Jesus, to be the men and women that you have called us to be, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Now, Lord, there's people in this congregation today with problems. There's people here that need sin forgiving. There's people here that's failed you, and there's sin on their hearts. They need the blood of Jesus to be applied. There's people here, Lord, that are feeling lonely, unloved, even unwanted. Help them to see, Lord, that you are the best friend that they have. There's people here, Lord, that's got marriage problems, financial problems. There's people here, Lord, that's got sickness in their body that keeps attacking them. I pray that as these people open their hearts and their mouths to praise you in the coming days, that those problems will truly become your problems, in your battle, your war, and that they will conquer in and through the name of Jesus. I pray that each person in this room today will find victory, triumph, glory in you through the praises of your name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Stay and have coffee and tea. There's plenty of good food out there, by the way. God bless you all. Thank you.